Haynes community members fundraise for the personal and legal expenses of former manager Bill Seward. And two Chilkat Valley residents receive governor's awards for the arts and humanities. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. Last week, the Haynes Borough Assembly fired manager Bill Seward in a 4-2 vote. Now, some members of the community are fighting back against his termination.
I feel that I was wrongly terminated.
That's former manager Bill Seward.
In regards to a lawsuit, you know, the attorney's still reviewing the case, and we haven't really determined the best way forward.
Former Assemblymember Diana Lapham created a GoFundMe page to, quote, hold the Borough Assembly accountable for the firing of Manager Seward. Her goal is to raise $35,000.
I wanted to help out. I knew legally and otherwise, you know, bill-wise, they may need some help. And as far as I was concerned, it was a wrongful termination.
Seward's contract was terminated during his 6-month evaluation by the Assembly, a review that is written into his contract. At Seward's request, the discussion was public rather than being held in executive session. Here's Assemblyman Tom Morfitt during that conversation.
Mr. Seward has, in my opinion, made continuous missteps that reflect his judgment and diligence are not at the caliber required to do this job effectively. Moreover, I do not believe these skills can be taught.
Other members of the Assembly also criticized Seward's performance. Morfitt made the motion to terminate Seward for cause. The motion passed in a 4-2 vote. If he'd been fired without cause, Seward would have received severance pay. But in this case, he will not. Morfitt says he believes some of the complaints brought about Seward's behavior reflected adversely on his position and the borough. That's one of the actions that constitutes cause in Seward's contract. Morfitt says he doesn't just want to give away $35,000 if cause is met. The $35,000 he's referring to would be Seward's severance pay. Lapham says she wants to help alleviate some of Seward's financial stress.
I'm really, really saddened by all of this. Sewards want to make Haynes their home, and, you know, I give them my best. But right now, their financial situation maybe could be in trouble, and I just feel compelled to help them out.
On the page, she lists Seward's past employment history and credentials, including his career in the United States Army and Coast Guard.
Mr. Seward is so credentialed with degrees and otherwise in his professional career. For him not to be able to learn how to be a manager in Haynes, Alaska, that to me was almost laughable.
Lapham writes that beyond personal living expenses caused by the job loss, funds raised will go towards the cost of hiring an attorney and prosecuting the case. Seward says he is working with an attorney. He's working with the Anchorage-based lawyer Isaac Zaria. Zaria says he's been reviewing records to determine whether there was something unlawful about the firing. He says there are several things that make it seem like that is the case, but he has not yet made the final determination of whether a wrongful termination lawsuit is warranted. Seward says he's grateful for the members of the community who have supported the fundraising page.
I was very humbled and flattered when I saw the GoFundMe page. I can't, you know, thank folks enough for the support. The donations.
He says the funds will, quote, help level the playing field going forward. One of his online supporters is the wife of Police Chief Heath Scott, who donated $1,000 to the cause. That's the largest single donation made so far. Scott, who's employed by the borough, says it's his wife's donation and he supports his wife. He says Seward is his friend and he thinks the donation speaks for itself. After Seward's termination, community members raised the possibility of recalling Morfitt, who was elected to the Assembly in October, as well as other members of the Assembly that voted in favor of his motion. Borough Clerk and Acting Manager Julie Causey says so far she's received no applications for recall petitions. So far, Lapham's fundraising page has raised just under $3,000. Two Chilkat Valley residents are among the recipients of this year's Governor's Awards for the Arts and Humanities. The awards are presented through a partnership between the Alaska Humanities Forum, the Alaska Arts and Culture Foundation, and the Governor's Office. Klukwan's Lonnie Hotch will receive the Arts Business Leadership Award. Hotch is the Executive Director of the Jill Catquan Heritage Center. Among other criteria, the award, quote, recognizes a business that uses the arts in an exemplary way to propel their success. Haines' Heather Lendy is the recipient of one of three Distinguished Service to the Humanities Awards. Lendy is an author recently elected to the Borough Assembly. Her award is for making a significant contribution to the humanities in Alaska. The award ceremony will be held in Juneau on January 26th. Shellfish is a staple in many homes throughout Southeast Alaska, but it can also be a hazard. A new lab in Sitka tests regularly for shellfish toxins and is now teaching more than a dozen tribes in the region to do the same. Global warming could increase the level of toxins, so as KCAW's Emily Russell reports, tribes are working fast to take the mystery out of what's blooming on their shores.
Jen Hamblin has purple plastic gloves on and a long black apron. She's shucking blue mussels, the kind you might find served in a seafood restaurant.
I love chowder. I must say my appetite for raw shellfish has decreased since I began this position.
Hamblin is a fisheries biologist for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. She scrapes the meat off the shells into a little white bowl. When she has at least 100 grams worth of blue mussel meat, she empties the bowl into a blender. She sets the timer for 3 minutes and turns it on high.
The fancy word for that is called homogenization, but shellfish smoothies is the other term we like to use.
The tribe started blending up shellfish and testing them in the lab because of the growing concern over paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP, a sometimes fatal illness caused by toxins in algae.
People want to know, can we go out? Is it safe or is it not? Because it is an easy subsistence resource to harvest here. There's shellfish everywhere.
Michael Jamros directs the tribe's research lab, which opened last year.
When I showed up a year ago, the lab was basically a bunch of boxes, and I pretty much had to go from there ordering the rest of the supplies and getting the lab set up.
It's all set up and fully functioning now. That's a good thing, since a study published last month reports that since 1997, the annual production of algae in the Arctic has risen by nearly 50%. Chris Whitehead, the environmental program manager for the tribe, says warmer ocean temperatures make for better breeding grounds for toxins.
Just like your garden, you know, if you water it and it's warm and sunny out and you give it fertilizer, everything does really well. It's the same with these vegetative cells in the marine system, too.
That's why their weekly tests are so important, Whitehead says. And now more than a dozen other tribes in the region are also testing for toxins.
Communities like Wrangell and Ketchikan and Juneau and Yakutat and Hoonah.
Here. People are out digging all the time.
Ian Johnson is the environmental coordinator for the Hoonah Indian Association.
If I was to just guess, I would say over 50% of the community consume clams, maybe probably more, might be 70-80%.
Three people died in 2010 from paralytic shellfish poisoning, including one from Hoonah, and others have gotten sick since. That's why Johnson says people are eager for his weekly test results, which he started in October, but soon he ran into a problem. People have different names for the same clams. Take Pacific Little Neck clams. Some people call them steamer clams. Others, Johnson says, just differentiate between edible and inedible clams. So he published an online survey about shellfish names.
I was just trying to tap into sort of this local basin knowledge and try to understand what people call these different species of clams so that I can communicate the results better with them.
Johnson released results from the survey online and continues testing the water for toxins each week. If levels are unsafe, Johnson can send in shellfish samples to get blended up and tested in Sitka. The batch of mussels in the blender right now is from Petersburg, a community 90 miles east of Sitka. They were flown in just this morning. After 3 minutes, the mixture is then run through a series of tests to determine if the mussels in Petersburg are safe to harvest. Shellfish samples are flown in from other tribes almost every week, which helps fisheries biologist Jen Hamblin iron out the kinks in the lab. Outside of the lab is a different story.
A problem we encountered today is that there's frozen mussels on the beaches right now. So we'll have to look at how to do sampling in Southeast Alaska when we have cold snaps like the one we're experiencing now.
She may not be eating much raw shellfish herself, but Hamblin has an appetite to get it right, because the one variable that won't change is the local demand to know whether the fruits of the sea are safe to eat. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Russell.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.